promise in your life. Here are a few of those accelerating promises you can depend on right now. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. Isaiah 41:10. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear. 1 John 4:18. Don't let anything hold you back. Lori-Ann Eldridge was brave, even though she had no rescue experience. She was determined, even with no shoes on her feet. She ran, even though she hadn't run in 10 years. What about you? Will you reject the limitations of your life and run toward the opportunities in front of you? I understand if you're afraid, and I know there are legitimate challenges you might face, but just think about the reward involved. If you'll say no to fear and yes to God, there is a life ahead of you full of potential, wonder, and new possibilities. Don't let fear slow you down any longer. Run into your future and watch God do something incredible with your life. Don't forget. It is only when we learn to live by faith, moving forward regardless of the fear we may feel, that we can live a fulfilling, satisfying, and joyful life in Christ. Focusing on God's promises instead of your problems is the best way to overcome fear. If you believe God is leading you in a certain direction, put your confidence in him and take a step of faith. You'll never regret moving forward in obedience to God's leading in your life. There is only one happiness in this life, to love and be loved. George Sand. Chapter 4. The Power of Grace. May the perfect grace and eternal love of Christ our Lord be our never-failing protection and help. Saint Ignatius. Have you ever thought about what powers your life? Consider a car, a boat, a stove, or even something simple like a hairdryer. All of these things are powered by something: gasoline, electricity, solar energy, or natural gas. Without a sustaining power source, they won't function properly. Now, what about you? What is the power source for your life? If the answer is something that is dependent on you, such as your intellect, your sense of independence, your strong work ethic, your education, or your winning personality, I must warn you that your life isn't going to function properly. It might sputter on for a little while, but eventually you'll discover that none of those power sources are enough to sustain you and enable you to enjoy life. And if the source that powers your life is built around another person, such as your spouse, your children, the satisfaction you get from your job, your friendships, or even your church life, the outcome won't be much better. Sadly, people can let us down. Relationships are important, but they mustn't be the thing we depend on to fuel our lives. Other people can be great blessings in our lives, but they will always fall short of being our sole source of power. Let me tell you about the amazing gift God has given us that serves as the fuel, the power for our lives. His grace. Grace really is amazing. I've discovered that all of us, even people who have been Christians for a long time, have struggles from time to time. None of us are immune to frustrating habits, disappointing failures, or occasionally feeling like we just can't make it. But the good news is this. Once you get a revelation of God's grace in your life, you find the power to overcome those struggles. Let me show you what I mean. Think about a problem you may be dealing with in your life right now, a bad habit, a frustration at work, a conflict in a relationship, or anything similar that is weighing on your mind. Now, I want to ask you, have you been trying in your own strength to make things work out? If so, how has that worked for you? Have you solved your problem, or have you come up short of the perfect solution? If you're still dealing with the same frustration, don't get discouraged. You are in the best place to realize just how amazing God's grace really is. You see, grace is God's power, not ours. Grace is the power to overcome bad habits, to make peace in a relationship, or to bring you victoriously through any trial without all of your trying in your own strength. Simply put, grace is the power of God that enables us to do with ease what we could never do on our own. The only thing that our trying or self-effort ever does is cause frustration, because we are trying in our own strength. We can never make ourselves better without God's help. It is interesting to note that trying is not a biblical principle. Yes, the word trying is in the Bible, but it's not there telling us to try to do better or be better. When you study the word, you see that trying is used in reference to the trying of our faith, trying of the spirits, or trying us to prove our character. All of our trying, or human effort apart from God, is really just works of the flesh, and it will never bring about lasting change. Only God's power, His grace, can do that. Don't get me wrong. It is great to want to be a better person, and the Bible does instruct us to make every effort to live godly lives. See 2 Peter 1:5. There is certainly nothing bad about that. In fact, it's a desire God gives us. But Galatians 3:10 tells us very clearly that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. The Message, the Prophets. That is why we often find ourselves frustrated or overwhelmed by different situations in our lives. We're trying to work it out on our own, and that will never do. If you found yourself in that situation, the solution is simple. All you have to do is ask God for His help. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are God's child, and it gives Him joy to help you. But He will never force His help on you at any time. You have the choice to try to do things in your own strength, or to ask for His help and guidance in your life. Far too many times, we stubbornly try to fix ourselves and work out situations in our own strength. I really believe it breaks God's heart when He sees us struggling with situations in life, when all we need to do is stop and ask Him for help. God taught me this truth in a way I'll never forget. My husband Dave is pretty tall, but I am not. We have a really high window over the kitchen sink in our house. When that window is open, there's no way for me to close it without a lot of effort and a big ordeal. Now, how do you think Dave would feel if every time I needed that window closed, I ran out of the house to go ask the man next door to come help me? Or what if I tried to do it by myself, straining and stretching, maybe climbing up on the counter, possibly knocking things over, getting all worn out, while Dave was sitting right there? The truth is, that would really be insulting to him. It would definitely hurt Dave if I refused to rely on his help when I needed it. In the same way, it grieves God to watch us struggle so needlessly, when all the while He is right there waiting for us to simply exchange trying for trusting. Whatever you may be going through today, all you have to do is trust God and ask for His help, His grace. That grace provides the power for you to live an abundant life. Striving, struggling, and trying can never do that. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us very clearly, "It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Holy Bible, New International Version. In the same way that you are saved by God's grace, you can live each day of your life in the power of God's grace. It's the best way to live. All you have to do is humble yourself Ask God for his help, and then do what he tells you to do. You can trust him rather than your own self-effort, because he is mighty and can do whatever you need him to do. You'll have a part to play, but God will give you the strength to do whatever he asks you to do. Trust in his goodness. He loves you so much, and he wants to help you no matter what you are going through. Isn't that amazing? Keep in mind that God has called us to enter his rest. He does not want us to be frustrated, but instead he desires that we enjoy peace. Jesus said that he left us his peace, but that we need to stop allowing ourselves to be upset and disturbed, fearful and intimidated. See John 14:27, the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition. I have learned that when I feel frustrated, it means that I have allowed myself to enter into works of the flesh, which is me trying to do in my own strength what only God can do, and that I need to renew my commitment to receive God's grace and work with him instead of trying to work without him. Frustration is a calling card that reminds me to once again lean and rely on God instead of on myself or other people. And it can be the same thing for you. Grace to love your life. I believe there is grace available to us every day of our lives for every situation we face. God is not surprised or caught off guard when we encounter a challenging situation. He knew what you were going to have to deal with long before you did, and he has already provided everything you need to learn from it and come out of it better off than before. This is why the Bible says we can rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. God is never going to put us in a situation or permit us to be in a circumstance without giving us the ability to be there with joy. The power of grace is so essential to living a life you love, because God's power on your behalf does more than help you just survive life. Grace gives you the ability to live an overcoming, confident, joy-filled life in Christ. Hard things can be done with ease when we do them by God's grace. I've heard people say things like, "I'm staying in this situation," or, "I am trying to do this because I believe it's what God wants me to do, but I am so incredibly miserable and unhappy." Well, I'm convinced this is not how God works. It may not always be easy, but if God has placed you in a situation, he is going to give you a special grace to be there. I like this statement. God gives us grace for our place. That means you will have peace and joy in the midst of what you're encountering. People may wonder how you can do what you are doing and remain so peaceful, and it is a great testimony of God's power at work in your life. Let me give you an example. For many people, public speaking is a frightening endeavor. They get nervous just thinking about getting up and talking in front of a crowd, much less actually doing it. But I love to stand up in front of large groups of people and teach the Word of God. I speak in front of thousands of people at our conferences and crusades without any problem at all. And there is only one reason I can do this. It's the grace of God. God has given me grace, his power in that area, to do what he has called me to do. People say to me all the time, "Joyce, I don't know how you do it." But it is not difficult for me because God has given me grace for my place. This grace enables me to love and enjoy my life. In the same way, there are things you do, parts of your life, that other people probably wouldn't have the patience, ability, or energy to do. Whether it's raising small children, working a particular job, functioning in a certain ministry role, or dealing with a unique challenge, God has given you a grace to do it because that's part of his plan for your life. You receive his grace, undeserved favor and power, by faith. And you need to remember that when these areas of life get difficult, and they certainly will, don't step out of God's grace. Don't try to persevere on your own or find the solution in your own strength. Instead, rely on God, trusting that he will give you the instruction and answers you need to keep going. You may have to do it one day at a time, or even one moment at a time. But I think you'll find that when you keep your focus and your dependence on God, your level of joy will be much higher. I want you to remember that works of the flesh equals frustration. But grace enables us to do with ease what we could never do on our own with any amount of struggle and effort. There is a way. The attitude we live with, the level of joy, the level of peace, the level of stability we have, is what determines how much or how little we enjoy each and every day of our lives. If you've been in this world very long at all, you've learned that there are very few days that go exactly the way you'd like them to. Just today, as I am writing this book, we have severe flood warnings in our city. We are facing the challenge and inconvenience of being shut in for a few days because all the highways and roads that lead to our home will be closed. I have several appointments that will need to be rearranged, and I need to leave town for a conference. If that isn't enough, I just walked through my house and heard a drip, 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 and after investigating, discovered that my ceiling is leaking water onto the floor and fireplace mantle. I can get upset and distracted from what I am doing, or I can do what I'm able to do and trust God to take care of all the things that I cannot do. Until we stop letting our joy be determined by our circumstances, we will never enjoy stability. The psalmist David said that when we dwell in the presence of the Most High, we will remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Psalm 91:1, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. But in the midst of all the challenges and surprises of life, there is good news. We have a way to be happy when circumstances don't necessarily suit us, or when we don't get a breakthrough as quickly as we'd like, or when people around us are not what we'd like them to be, or when we are disappointed. And that way is the grace of God. Remember, grace is never in short supply. You can have as much of it as you need, as often as you need it. His grace is made perfect in our weaknesses. All that we need to do is ask and receive that our joy may be full. See John 16:24. Grace is like electricity that is always coming into our homes. We don't benefit from it unless we plug something into it. Plain and simple, grace is power, and we receive that power through plugging in by faith. Perhaps you are struggling in your life because you are unplugged. But you can plug in right now and start to receive a flow of power immediately that will make life enjoyable. The Bible says that every man is given a measure of faith. See Romans 12:3. The measure we are given is the exact measure we need for what God gives us to do. So instead of trying to solve our problems, fix things, or work things out on our own, we can release our faith by trusting God to take care of them. Then God's grace, His power, comes through that channel of faith and enables us to do what we couldn't do by ourselves, which will amaze others and us. I suggest that you take a moment and offer to God anything and everything that frustrates or burdens you, naming them one by one. Release them to God and ask Him for His grace. Now, take some time and receive it by faith. You may not feel that anything is different, but believe that you have received what you have asked for, and then go on with your life. After you do this, if you continue to feel frustrated and miserable in the days and months ahead, then perhaps you should revisit whether or not you are doing what God wants you to do. Jesus did not die for us so we could struggle through life and merely endure it. He wants us to live fully and love completely the life He has given us. There are times in all of our lives when we may think we are doing what we should be doing, yet nothing seems to be working right and we have lost our joy. Then we discover that God wants us to make a turn and go in another direction. It may only be a slight turn or it could be a complete U-turn, but always remember that God never calls us to do something that requires constant struggle and creates a loss of joy. Don't be afraid of change, and don't be afraid to discover that somewhere along the road of life, you made a wrong turn. Here is an example that might help. Over the years, we have changed our conference schedule 5 times. At one time, we did 36 conferences a year, and that got to be a struggle. So we changed to 24 a year, And after several years, that became a struggle. So we changed to 18 conferences a year. Then we changed to 13. And recently we made a change to 12. But we also dropped one session and are doing 3 instead of the 4 we have always done. Why did we change? Each time prior to making a change, we found that what was once easy was becoming very difficult and was draining our joy. And we knew that wasn't God's will for us. God always gives us sufficient grace to do what He wants us to do. And the presence or absence of that grace is one of the ways we can discern whether or not we are in the will of God. We may be in the will of God doing a certain thing in one season of our life, but that thing must be laid down in order for us to go into the next season. Very few of us rarely do anything the exact same way our entire lives, and being able to sense godly seasons of change is very important to walking in the will of God. Don't forget. What are you relying on to be the power source of your life? Is it your own strength or abilities? Is it another person or relationship? Or is it God and His grace in your life? Grace is God's power, not ours. Grace is the power to overcome bad habits, to make peace in a relationship, or to bring you victoriously through any trial without continual frustration and misery. It breaks God's heart when He sees us struggling with situations in life when all we need to do is stop and ask Him for help. If God has placed you in a situation, He will give you a special grace to be there. He will give you grace for your place. God's power comes to you freely as you put your faith in Him. There are only 2 ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is. Albert Einstein. Chapter 5. Don't poison the present with the past. I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. Thomas Jefferson. Junk food, air pollution, rumors, black mold, dark thoughts. What do all of these things have in common? Answer. They're bad for us. Toxic. Destructive. We all know how to avoid these harmful poisons. Too much access to them can destroy our bodies, our souls, or our spirits. That's common sense. We know to avoid them because they can hurt us, sometimes in irreparable ways. Well, there is something just as destructive that lurks right around the corner of your mind. Something that is as toxic to your soul as pollution is to your body. The poison of the past. It's a danger that can limit your present happiness and destroy your future hope. The contamination of past pain or previous regret is a venom that too many are unknowingly ingesting on a daily basis. I know this firsthand. You see, for years, my past pain dictated how I approached my life and relationships with other people. I had a hard time trusting anyone or believing I was safe around people. My relationships and my mindset were affected by the tragic past I had endured. It was hard for me to believe that I could ever have a truly good life because I had endured a truly painful past. Until I found healing from the Lord, this was just the way I thought I was going to be. Second-rate, inferior, angry, bitter, disappointed, and afraid. But the good news is that with God's help, I learned my past didn't have to define my future. I didn't get a good start in life, but I am determined to have a good finish. I was not called by God to be a victim my whole life, and neither were you. He has something so much better in store. When I learned that my past did not have to define me, I was able to start letting God's word define me. It was an eye-opening discovery. I began to see that I was not a victim or a sad story. I was a child of God. I was loved, accepted, and cared for, and I had an unbelievably good future in Christ. The same is true for you. No matter what you did in the past or what someone did to you, you are more than your past pain. You belong to God, and He has a good plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. But in order to experience that bright future, and in order to love your present life, it is vitally important that you let go of the poison of the past. When you do, you will begin to enjoy the present regardless of the past. Healing from past pain. I'm encouraged when I study the Word of God to see that all throughout His ministry, Jesus brought healing, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual healing. When the blind man called to him from the side of the road, Jesus stopped and opened his eyes. See Luke 18:35-42. When Peter was devastated by his failure, Jesus made a point to let Peter know he still had a future. See John 21:15-21. When a woman caught in adultery was brought to Jesus, he offered grace and then said, "Go and sin no more." See John 8:3-11. These are just a few of the many examples of divine healing. Jesus never missed an opportunity to heal hurting people of their pain. And this isn't just a phenomenon limited to biblical times. Hebrews 13:8 gives us an amazing promise. Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday and today and forever. Just as Jesus healed people of their pain in the New Testament, He still heals today. Whatever pain, abuse, or disappointments you faced in the past, Jesus can heal you so you can move forward and live a healthy, whole life in Him. There is no trauma too big or no mistake too costly. Jesus can heal it all. There is no pit so deep that Jesus cannot reach in and lift you out. In order to keep the past from poisoning your present, this is important to know. If you want to really love your life, you must first receive the healing that is yours in Christ Jesus. If there is something from your past that is trying to poison your present and your future, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer or one like it right now. Father, you know the pain I've endured. You know what I did or what was done to me in my past. You know how it has affected me and how I've been stuck in that past trauma. I pray today that you heal my soul and give me hope for a better future. I choose to let go of the past and trust you as I move forward in life. I no longer want to be held back by my past. Heal me totally and completely, and help me take the steps I need to take in order to start a brand new life in you. I encourage you to remember that our walk with God is a journey, and our path gets brighter and brighter as we continue with Him. Don't make the mistake that so many people make, thinking that all healing should be instantaneous. Healing takes time, and we should enjoy each step and every tiny bit of progress. New hope for the future. Martha Washington said, "The greater part of our happiness or misery depends upon our dispositions and not upon our circumstances." In other words, the mindset you have regarding your future, not your current circumstances, goes a long way in determining what kind of life you are going to live. I love how the Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians 4:22-23, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. He writes, "Strip yourselves of your former nature and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude is essential if you want to discover how to love your life. You can overcome any difficult situation or pain from your past if you will just agree with God and say, "Yes, this happened in my life, but God is on my side, and I know He has a good plan for me." With God's help, you can overcome your past and learn to have a great hope for the future. God is concerned about everything that concerns you, and don't ever think that He is too busy to help you. What we may see as a dead end, God sees as a new beginning. The Israelites couldn't see God's vision for their lives. This is why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They looked at everything through the prism of their past. As a matter of fact, they had so little vision for the future that they wanted to go back to Egypt and return to the life of slavery they once knew. The past wasn't good, but it was familiar to them. They kept looking back to Egypt, but all the while God wanted them to have hope for the future. We would be wise to learn a lesson from the Israelites. If we want to see change happen in our lives, we need to get a vision that goes beyond what we've already experienced. We need to look ahead with hope for the future. The best way to do that is to stand on the promises in God's Word. For example, the Word of God says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, the time of his return. Philippians 1:6. In due time and at the appointed season we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Galatians 6:9, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. But the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer. Proverbs 4:18, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. These promises, and so many more just like them, give us hope that God has great things in store. You may have struggled in the past, but that doesn't mean you will always struggle. Expect something good to happen to you at any moment. Our hope is not limited by what we can see around us or what we went through previously. Hope that sustains us is hope that is based on the Word of God and His promises for our lives. God is always doing something new. This is why Isaiah 43:18-19 says, Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Holy Bible, New International Version. If your past could easily be described as a wilderness or a wasteland, take hope. God is doing a new thing. Simply follow His plan rather than your own thoughts or feelings. Those are unreliable. Look past your circumstances and focus on the promises God has laid out for you in His Word. This will give you the hope you need to begin loving your life. Satan does not want you to enjoy or love your life, and he will do all that he can to discourage you and try to make you think that nothing good will ever happen to you. He is a liar, and the truth is not in him, so don't listen to him. Jesus said, The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. John 10:10. Vision to see past your circumstances. When it comes to getting a vision for the future, some people get confused. What does that mean? How do I have a vision? Is that just spiritual lingo? Well, let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. In Genesis 13, Abraham had a big choice to make. You see, he and his nephew, Lot, had too much cattle to feed on the land. It was just too crowded, and the limited space was causing problems. So Abraham said to Lot, Let's go our separate ways. I'll let you choose what land you want. I'll give you first pick. Selfishly, Lot chose the best part of the Jordan Valley for himself. This was where Abraham's choice came into play. Abraham could have gotten angry and had a bad attitude. He could have insisted, That's not fair, how could you? But instead, Abraham trusted that God had a good future for him. He trusted God's goodness, knowing that God was in control. In verses 14 to 15, this is what happened. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. Holy Bible, New International Version. This is an example of vision. Rather than focus on his circumstances, Lot taking what appeared to be the best land, Abraham trusted God's best for his future. And it paid off. The Lord showed him all the good things that were in store. Well, in much the same way, God has shown you all the good things in store for your life. That's what the promises in His Word are all about. If you'll look past your circumstances, trust God, and stand on His promises, He'll give you the vision to see that He will bless you in ways greater than you can imagine. God's promises are for anyone who will believe them. What we believe is our choice, so why not believe something good? So let me encourage you. Stop thinking about everything you've lost, everything you think you're not, the way you've been treated in the past, and everything you feel like you've given up. Instead, set your mind on God's vision for your future. God's Word tells us that when the thief is discovered, he must restore 7 times what he stole. See Proverbs 6:31. When we stop blaming God, other people, and our circumstances for our unhappy lives, and put the blame where it rightfully belongs, which is on the devil, our healing can begin. Focus on God's healing for your life and His great plan for moving you forward. When you do, you'll find that the pain of yesterday will begin to fade away and new hope for tomorrow will grow brighter and brighter. Meditate on these promises, and as you do, they will feed your faith and keep it strong. Return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, O prisoners who have the hope. Even today I am declaring that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Zechariah 9:12. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job 42:10. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, but flee before you 7 ways. Deuteronomy 28:7. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Isaiah 61:7, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. Antidotes and Life-Giving Nutrients. We began this chapter talking about the things that can poison our lives, most notably, the poison of the past. God's Word contains the answer to every problem we could ever encounter, and it gives life to those who believe it. The Bible is filled with antidotes for those poisons. For example, God loves you unconditionally, and He always will. Understand that all your sins have been forgiven. When you ask God for His forgiveness, He remembers your faults no more. Follow the guidance and instruction of the Holy Spirit. Simply ask God for His peace and wisdom, and He will show you the steps to take. Live in the joy of knowing that you are not alone. God is with you, and He promises to never leave your side. Trust that God is your protection. No matter who or what stands against you, God is your defender. Let Him fight your battles. He never loses. Embrace the Bible-based hope that great things are in store for your future. If you'll hold on to these good things from your Heavenly Father, there is no way the past can hold you back any longer. You will never again live as a victim of previous pain or circumstances. Instead, you'll thrive in the life God has for you. Fight the good fight of faith, and don't let the enemy steal, kill, or destroy another day of your life. The past is over, the present is here, and God's future lies ahead of you. He has a life full of hope, purpose, strength, and promise in store. That's a life you can truly love. Don't forget, with God's help, your past doesn't have to define your future. Jesus is the great healer. He can heal you of any past pain or trauma. Simply ask for His healing and trust that He will do it. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude is essential if you want to discover how to love your life. You are a dear child of God with an incredible future promised to you. If you'll look past your circumstances, trust God, and stand on His promises, He'll bless you in ways greater than you can imagine. A great book begins with an idea. A great life with a determination. Louis L'Amour. Chapter 6. Count Your Blessings. Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, not your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. Charles Dickens. I recently heard about a conversation R.C. Chapman, a renowned pastor and evangelist, had with a friend, and this exchange touched me in a profound way. The story goes that Chapman was asked one morning how he was feeling. It's a simple question, one we've all been asked 1,000 times. How are you doing today? Chapman's response stuck with me. He said, "I'm burdened this morning." His friend was a little confused because Chapman said those words with a huge smile on his face. The questioner inquired, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude," R.C. Chapman replied. Seeing that his friend was still puzzled, Chapman went on to say, "I am referring to Psalm 68:19, which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with benefits." Wow, I love that attitude, and I love that verse of scripture. Psalm 68:19 in full says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." King James Version. R.C. Chapman was trying to tell his friend something we would all be wise to understand. God has blessed me so much that I can hardly stand it. I'm loaded down with blessings. This attitude, this outlook on life, is an important step in learning to love the life God has given you. Now, you may hear those words from Mr. Chapman and think, "I don't feel that blessed. I mean, I recognize I have some blessings in my life, but I'm certainly not overwhelmed by blessings." Well, that's why I've included this chapter in this book. I want to remind you how truly blessed you are. You see, it's easy to overlook the good things God has given us. We can often get busy with the tasks and challenges of our daily lives. So busy, in fact, that we easily overlook the countless blessings we enjoy. But this is why so many people are living frustrated, joyless, disappointing lives. They've simply forgotten, or maybe they never even realized, how blessed they really are. A couple of years ago, I made a decision in January. I set a goal for myself to be thankful for at least one blessing every day of the year. All year long, I tried my best to do that, and in the process, I learned something valuable. Complaining didn't change anything. Focusing on a negative problem or situation didn't make the situation any better. All it did was make me feel worse. But when I chose to look for and focus on the good things, I began to enjoy every day in a way I never had before. Through the years, I have made many lists to remind myself of God's goodness and His blessings. And to this very day, I can look at those lists and be encouraged. A few of the things I've written on these lists are the love of my family and friends, the privilege of teaching God's word, being able to reach out and help people, God's daily provisions, clean water and good food. These are just a few examples of God's blessings. Each time I look at these things, I feel content and peaceful all over again. By counting my blessings, my entire outlook and attitude about life improved tremendously, and yours will too. Back to the basics. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father." I share that verse with you because I am convinced it is a spiritually foundational principle we need to remember. Every good thing we have has been given to us by God to help us enjoy our lives. One of the very first things we teach our children is how to count. It's so cute to watch their little faces light up when we praise them for remembering that 4 comes after 3 and 10 is the number of fingers they have. We happily exclaim, "You are so smart! What a great counter you are!" I still remember how my kids, and now my grandkids, would come home from preschool and kindergarten showing off how high they were learning to count. "Mommy, I can count to 50. Grandma, listen to me count to 100. It's one of the first things they learned, and they were so happy and eager to demonstrate their newfound skills. I'm sure you can relate. Surely you've watched a son or daughter, a niece or nephew, proudly count on their fingers or confidently show you their basic math skills. Counting is a rite of passage. It's the foundation for every math problem we'll ever solve. Well, just like the skill of basic counting is foundational for our children, I believe the skill of counting our blessings is foundational for every Christian. When we learn to focus on the good things God has done for us, rather than the trouble or distractions we may be facing, there is absolutely nothing that can steal our joy. Although this is something that most of us know we should do, we often forget it and need to be reminded. I think about the way I used to live my life, and it is no wonder I was upset, discouraged, and frustrated all the time. You see, I was a person who would focus on the negative events and happenings of my day. I can't tell you how many of my days were ruined because of something someone said or something that didn't go the way I had planned for it to go. It wasn't because I was a bad person. In fact, I was trying to be the best person I could. I loved God, and I was passionate about studying His Word. However, I didn't yet understand the foundational benefits of counting my blessings. Instead of seeing the good things in my life, I was focusing on the negative things. Rather than counting my blessings, I was actually doing the opposite. I was counting my disappointments. It went something like this. What has gone wrong today? Well, let's see. Number one, Dave went golfing instead of spending time with me. Number two, a friend canceled our coffee date. Number three, the grocery store was out of what I needed. Number four, the kids are really frustrating me. Do you get the picture? It is no wonder I was unhappy. I was putting my energy into counting the wrong things. Have you ever found yourself obsessing about all the things that went wrong today, rather than all the things that were right? Have you ever spent the evening telling your spouse or your friend about every bad thing about your day, instead of every good thing? If you have, don't get too down on yourself. I think we have all fallen into the negativity trap. Bad news is like bad headlines. It gets all the attention. But rather than focus on the negative events of your day, let me encourage you to get back to the spiritual basics and take a refresher course in counting your blessings. Here are a few ways to do that. Remember, the Word of God instructs us to not forget God's blessings. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of His benefits. Psalm 103:2. Realize that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Rejoice that even when you're having a bad day, God is there to carry you through it. Blessed be the Lord, who bears our burdens and carries us day by day, even the God who is our salvation. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. Psalm 68:19, the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition. Remember, realize, rejoice. It's not that hard if you think about it. In fact, if you tend to focus on the negative things in life, you could make a sign that says, "Remember, realize, rejoice." Put it somewhere that you will see it often. Do whatever it takes to help you count your blessings. Little things count. When it comes to loving life, we very often focus on the big things. We think, "I would be so much happier in a different career," or, "If only I could find a spouse, then my life would be so great," or, "When I have more money or more profitable investments, that's when I can start to relax and enjoy life." But it's not the big things that often steal our joy. It's the little things. Think about it. It's the more minor, unexpected things in the course of a day that can cause us to want to pull our hair out. A coffee spill in the car, a slow line at the checkout, a minor disagreement with a coworker, an email that failed to be delivered, a traffic jam on the way to work, a gust of wind that messed up your hair. These are the little things that can put the day on the wrong footing. But just like a little negativity tries to ruin your day, the little blessings in life can make your day great. It all depends on where your focus is. So when you're counting your blessings, don't just sit passively, waiting for the big blessings to come along. Start with the little blessings. A beautiful sunrise, waking up healthy, the joy in a child's giggle, a terrific dinner, a compliment from a friend, a delicious cup of coffee. These blessings add up quickly. It's not just the big things in life that give us joy. The small blessings remind us that we have so much to love about our lives. Henry David Thoreau said, "An early morning walk is a blessing for the whole day." And Mark Twain reminded us, "Humor is mankind's greatest blessing." These quotes aren't about a booming economy or an elaborate vacation package. They are reminders that peace and joy can be found in the ordinary, inexpensive, overlooked things in life, like a walk or a laugh. It's a wonderful thought. Contentment is often found in the small stuff. I have found this to be personally true in my life. Over the years, I've learned to slow down and enjoy even the smallest blessings in any given day. A kind word from Dave, a good movie, a compliment from a friend. These little things are actually a big deal. These are the things that remind me how blessed I really am. What about you? What are the everyday blessings you might have overlooked? Do you have friends or family whom you can enjoy a meal with? Is the weather beautiful where you live today? Do you have a bed to sleep in and clean water to drink? So many in the world don't have either of those things. Do you have a job that pays the bills? Do you feel good physically today? I ask these questions to remind you that the little things matter. Don't overlook them and don't take them for granted. These basic blessings are essential to really loving your life. Blessed to be a blessing. Marquis de Lafayette was a politician and French general who was an ally of George Washington in the American Revolution. He was instrumental in helping the colonies win their independence. The story is told that after the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer. He had many estates, and there was much work to be done. In 1783, the harvest in the surrounding region didn't yield many crops. Nearly all of his neighbors suffered as a result of the poor harvest. However, Lafayette's farms were the exception. He did quite well that year. He was able to fill his barns with wheat when the farmers around him could not. One of his workers thought this was a great time to take advantage of the opportunity. Seeing how prosperous they had been, he suggested to Lafayette, "This is the time to sell. The bad harvest has raised the price of wheat. We can make a huge profit." After thinking about the situation and the hungry peasants in the surrounding countryside, the former general disagreed with the profit-making suggestion. Choosing not to maximize his profits at the expense of others, he replied very simply, "No, this is the time to give." I love this story because it reflects a very biblical attitude. God blesses us in order that we may be a blessing to others. Marquis de Lafayette could have kept all his successful crops to himself, building up his bank account and focusing on his own self-interest. But instead, he chose to help others. We can learn a valuable lesson from his example. The idea of counting our blessings isn't so we can stockpile benefits for ourselves. It's so we can share those blessings with others. Psalm 21:6 says it this way, "For you make him most blessed and a blessing forever. You make him joyful with the joy of your presence." And Philippians 2:4 instructs us, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." It's a twofold blessing. God blesses you, and then he gives you the opportunity to bless others. This is one of the best ways to love your life. Henry Nouwen famously said, "To give someone a blessing is the most significant affirmation we can offer." When you learn to be selfless, sharing your many blessings with those around you, you can't help but have a joyful heart. Generosity is the key to happiness. As we conclude this chapter, let me encourage you to do two things today. 1. Count the blessings in your life. Remember, it's not just the big things, though they are important. Count the little things, too. 2. Count the ways you can share those blessings with others. Is there a single mom you know who could use a helping hand? Do you know someone who is desperate for some encouragement? Are there needs in your community you could help to meet? Whatever you can do to help, jump in and be a blessing. God loves you so much that He lavishly pours out His goodness, His peace, His joy, and His blessings on your life. Never forget that. You are loaded down with blessings from heaven. And with that knowledge, look for ways to bless others in return. There is no better time to start than now. Today is a perfect opportunity to help someone else. Think of it this way. Now is the time to give. Don't forget. Here is a great attitude to have. God has blessed me so much that I can hardly stand it. I'm loaded down with blessings. Many people are living joyless, frustrated lives because they've simply forgotten, or maybe they never even realized, how blessed they really are. When we learn to focus on the good things God has done for us, rather than the trouble or distractions we may be facing, there is absolutely nothing that can steal our joy. When you're counting your blessings, don't just sit passively waiting for the big blessings to come along. Start with the little blessings. God blesses you, and then He gives you the opportunity to bless others. This is one of the best ways to love your life. No one has ever become poor by giving. Anne Frank. Section 2. Love yourself and you will love your life. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10, English Standard Version. Chapter 7. Give yourself a break. It is never too late to be what you might have been. George Eliot. Imagine with me that you are volunteering at a local elementary school. Your schedule opened up, and you decided to sign up to lead a reading group and help with crafts for the school's kindergarten class. After about a month, you've learned the names of all the children, you've discovered their cute individual personalities, and you absolutely love the experience of working with these minds of the future. However, there is one thing that is bothering you. It's little Timmy. Timmy is an enthusiastic student. He gets along well with his classmates, and he greets you every day with a big hug. Timmy loves school, and you can certainly enjoy helping him learn. But Timmy pushes himself so hard to succeed that he becomes easily frustrated with himself. Some days you find Timmy muttering to himself, "I wish I was smart like my brother." Other days you see him practicing his letters during recess while the other children are playing games in the schoolyard. And sometimes during class, Timmy will begin to cry if he colors outside the lines or messes up his art project. You tell him, "It's okay, Timmy. Don't worry, it's not a big deal. We can fix it." But Timmy rarely accepts your encouragement. He wants so badly to do well, to please his parents and impress his teachers, that he internalizes every mistake. Timmy is such a perfectionist that he is unhappy most days. You wonder how a child could put so much pressure on himself, and it breaks your heart when you see him struggling. I paint that picture for you because I believe it breaks God's heart when He sees you struggling. You're a child of God. He doesn't want you putting so much pressure on yourself. When you make a mistake, lose your temper, forget an appointment, whatever it is, to God, it's the equivalent of coloring outside the lines. You're beating yourself up over it, but God is saying, "It's okay. It's not a big deal. We can fix it." God knows you're not perfect, and He loves and accepts you in your imperfection. Isn't it time you did the same?